one of the biggest lessons for me was on that first house. Just because I know how to do something doesn't mean that I need to be the one to do it. And I think that probably led to that project lingering longer than it should have. So that's one of them. I'd say improving deal flow and getting chunks of cash.
You're listening to 5 Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Okay. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the 5 Hour Real Estate Week podcast. And today's winner, his name is John Hickman. And I want to tell you about John. We go way back, and I think I first met John back on a cruise ship, and he attended one of our cruises, and I can't remember the year, but it seems like it was maybe in the previous century. It wasn't that long ago. But John's a client of mine, and he is a superstar. It's just amazing what he has done to achieve his true financial independence. And this guy, talk about having fun. He lives, I don't want to say lives on the edge, but adventure to the nth degree. And he has fun doing it, gets up every day, and just does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. And you can do that too. So we're going to interview John and learn about how he achieved his phenomenal success in such a short period of time. Now, I've been working with John for, this 2021. So 10 years ago will be 2011. I know it was before that.
I think it's been about 11 years.
11 or 12 years. And it could sneak up on us and be a little bit more. But I'm so impressed and proud of him for his real estate achievements using the same information that I gave you guys on this podcast. And I just want to prove it to you that you can do this too. So I remember the cruise ship that we talked about there, John, but then you and Greg came to a boot camp years ago. And what do you remember the most or your ahas from that first boot camp with Mike Butler?
I think the biggest ahas was getting a system in place so that your business almost runs itself. Having checklists for both inspecting properties, dealing with sellers, marketing, all of it. You know, not that you want to get rigidly attached to a system and a checklist where you can't deviate from it, but really just having you know, boxes that you check to remind yourself, because I can forget plenty. Just being able to remind yourself of what you need to get done and doing it consistently, that I think really is when, you know, we scored some nitro into our business and really started growing much more quickly.
Yeah, I had a brain fart here. I just skipped a huge part there. I know that we mentioned it before we even got started here, but what did you do prior to this? You told me that you were a massage therapist and had your own company. You were involved in theater. So you were like a trading hours for dollars kind of guy.
Exactly. Yeah. I was an itinerant stagehand working in Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama, kind of all over the place. Then I got a regular job with doing building scenery at a theater here in Nashville. And that gave me the opportunity to go to massage therapy school. People have been telling me for years to go. And I finally was like, okay, I just realized that I don't want to be a bent over, crushed down, broken down 50-year-old stagehand hoping for work. So I was like, well, let me get into massage. I did real well with that. While I was on a break out of town, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad that I saw on a buddy of mine's bookshelf. And let me tell you, that changed everything, because my whole financial paradigm shifted at that point. Like, I went from, you know, I had no idea really what an asset or a liability was. And I didn't really know about this thing called cash flow. But then once I read that book, my whole mindset shifted. And that's when I started attending my local RIA and really getting interested and getting educated and into the business.
That's pretty cool. So the massage therapy, I'll tell you a little bit what I learned. Massage therapy is one of the, let's say your tuition and getting that paid back and making the biggest bang for your buck as far as education go. Massage therapist was one of those.
Yeah.
And so you could go to school, get certified and start making money right out of the gate, but it is brutal on your body. And so Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of Rich Dad, Poor Dad before that book came out, sort of, kind of. But here's the magic in a nutshell. It is, because you own it, it puts money in your pocket. Whether you sleep, whether you're playing on a roller coaster, climbing the mountain, playing in your garden or whatever. And that was the magic. So buy stuff that because you own it, it puts money in your pocket. That's pretty cool. And so you read that and that was a game changer for you.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And you found out your local RIA group.
Yep.
And I'm going to assume that you got exposed to education opportunities.
I did. And I did. In fact, there was this crazy guy named Mike Butler who came to RIA a couple of times, and I had, enjoyed hearing what he had to say. So I definitely got plugged in his education. But it was just great just going out and networking, getting to know people who are actually in the business, also figuring out what contractors were actually active, which ones to stay away from. And I found a couple of other people in there who really took me under their wing and taught me some stuff too. But and that's actually where I met my business partner that I worked with for a while, Greg Self. And we went gangbusters and everything. And then from there, we started going to your events.
Yep. And I can remember stopping by your guys' office. You had a little house.
Yeah.
You had it all set up with whiteboards and stuff. And Greg's doing fantastically well today. Yeah. And he and his bride, Heather, they still do cruises, about two of them a month, don't they?
Oh, just about, man. It's like, it seems like one a quarter they're going on. So it's pretty cool.
So
yeah, he and I are still friends. We keep talking about getting lunch and everything, but either I'm out of town or he's out of town, or just, it's a ships in the nights kind of thing. So,
yeah. So tell us about your first 3 years in the business.
My first house that I bought with Greg and Jenny Pitts. They have a mentorship program, or at least they used to, that was kind of through REN. And it was a situation where I took classes with them, and then I had the opportunity to do my very first deal with them. And they would kind of, walk you through it, hold your hand, get the private funding, and, help you figure out the kind of order of operations. And then once I finished that and sold the property and, well, get this, the property, it was supposed to take, I thought it was going to take 5 months. It took 9. I thought the budget was going to be about $25,000. It wound up being about $32,000, but we sold it. I think it went on the market on a Friday afternoon, and we had a full price offer by Sunday afternoon. And this was in 2006, early 2006. And the price that we got, we listed it for way more than we planned. So we actually made about $18,000 more than we thought. So
that's a pretty good mistake, my friend.
For real. Yeah. Yeah. Now I took a little extra time. And so I learned a ton about holding costs, and just because I know how to do something doesn't mean that I need to be the one to do it. Some of the best money I spent on that project was $10, $12, $15 an hour labor that I paid some friends who needed some work and everything. But now all of a sudden, instead of just two hands, I had like five, I had like six, seven, eight people working for me at different points. I get so much done in that 2 weeks that I was hiring buddies out. I was like, man, I should have done this sooner. But the big lesson that I got from doing that project, aside from doing things right, was really being able to get in there and see what it takes to do each facet of a rehab. Now, I wasn't doing the licensed work like plumbing and electrical and that stuff, but I could see the guys doing it. And it gave me the perspective to know if in the future, if someone was trying to sell me down the river, if they were trying to say, oh, this project, it's going to take like $5,000, when I know that it should only take $2,000. So that really gave me some good insight into contractors and timelines.
You did all this while you were a massage therapist?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes,
and
sir.
And stage handing too?
Yeah, I was still doing some stage handing, rigging and stuff. I delayed my entry into real estate almost a year because the rigging company that I was working for, they kind of dangled a carrot in front of us and said that, well, if you keep on hanging in there with this, there's a chance to work your way up and, maybe get a piece of the company and that kind of thing. And that just
will give you a watch.
Right. Pretty much. Yeah. So I figured out that wasn't going to happen. So I just pushed on into real estate at that point. But the first 3 years, it was doing the mentorship, doing that first rehab. Then Greg and I became very good friends and found that our skill sets and desires and what we were good at complemented each other very well. So he and I started buying rental properties, and we bought them such that we could either fix them up and sell them, or fix them up and rent them, or if we bought them right, we could even wholesale them. But we usually wind up keeping them as rentals because we like that idea of cash flow. And I think in short order, that's just a few years later is when we met you. And really, like I said, supercharged our systems and our processes and got it to where we could do more with less. And we had hired an office manager. And so we were able just to, hey, Pam, we just bought this property. Please work what you can to this checklist. And that freed us up to go look for more deals.
That's awesome. Lessons learned, life-changing strategies, tips from all of that after implementing some of these systems?
Oh, my goodness. I think systems are crucial if you're going to be able to duplicate your effort or duplicate yourself in the form of having employees. They're crucial for making sure you don't forget something. Like, oh, crap, I forgot to swap over the utilities for this new tenant or from this property I just bought. You know, it's
or turn off the lawn service.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I know one thing that I really enjoyed, but got good at was folding in new clauses of rental agreements into the one that Greg and I were using when we were managing. You know, our rental agreement started as a little 2-page document. And then every time we got screwed over by something, well, there's a new clause in the rental agreement. Here's another new clause. And so that thing, that sucker grew to be about 14 pages long by the time I turned everything over to a property manager.
So. Yeah, we were, I think folks start off today with a 22 or 28 pager in ours, because every time we get burnt on something, we add another paragraph.
Absolutely. And, yeah.
So that's, yeah, it's cool. What was, let's say your biggest highlight in your real estate business getting started?
There was a house that, Greg and I bought that was, let's just say that there was no kitchen floor. Like literally the joist had fallen in. It was a hoarder that had lived there. It was a woman who wound up being a conservator of the court. And, we wound up buying that house and fixing it up and really taking something, a dump that probably ordinarily people would have just, you know, torn down or whatever, and fixing it back up and making it a nice addition to the neighborhood. And we made a little bit of money on it too. You know, just doing stuff like that, helping people out of who are genuinely having problems in real estate is another one. Like Greg and I, at the time we bought a couple of houses that we wound up wholesaling that they just, you could tell that the house had become a burden to people. And that's not just language to help, you know, make a course sound good. It's like there are people out there who have legitimate real estate problems. So I think being able to help people with that is a good one. And, you know, making it symbiotic to where you can make a buck too, and not trying to scrape every last cent out of a deal. It's I've really enjoyed that process.
So how long did it take you before you shot your job and eliminated that?
I would say it's been 2 years since I've given a professional massage. I mean, so that's one thing. But I would say in terms of like transitioning out of massage therapy, probably I kept a few good clients on just because I enjoyed the work and I enjoyed helping them feel better.
Okay.
But in terms of earning my daily bread, probably within a week once Greg and I got fired up and going.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that is awesome. So you became a full-time investor pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I live a pretty Spartan lifestyle, so I don't need a whole lot of extra money. And, you know, it was just me at the time. So no, you know, I didn't have any, you know, wee ones running around. So my cash flow needs were somewhat less, but through that was able to transition into being full-time pretty quick.
Well, this is not all gravy and it doesn't fall in your lap. What was one of your biggest challenges or two that you had getting into this real estate investing business?
Okay. I think one of the biggest lessons for me was on that first house. Just because I know how to do something doesn't mean that I need to be the one to do it. And I think that probably led to that project, you know, lingering longer than it should have. So that's one of them. I'd say improving deal flow and getting chunks of cash. Like there,
you said improving deal flow?
Flow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Deal flow. What is deal flow?
Well, a deal flow, I would say, is literally the process by which you find, purchase, and then either dispose of or process real estate opportunities.
Okay.
So, it incorporates marketing, it incorporates systems, it incorporates, you know, having at least a couple of different exit strategies out of a property.
Well, I know one thing that you did that was really good is you learned how to laser focus to find motivated sellers and not waste your time on folks that are not motivated sellers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, and that's part of the marketing and also the deal flow. It's screening the people that, you know, approach you about buying a property or whatever. It's like, you know, you can see whether someone's kicking the tires or whether they're really motivated. So,
oh, yeah. I forgot to say, what town are you in?
Oh, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah.
Yeah. Nashville. Okay. I forgot to mention that. And you still there?
Still here. Yep.
That's pretty good. That town is booming right now.
It really is.
Okay. So you the biggest challenge, what did we say? Was that biggest challenge or a highlight?
Well, you had asked me about a challenge, and gosh, I guess a challenge would be just watching your balance sheet and making sure you don't have too many debts to pile up, because if you're not careful, that stuff can sneak up on you. One thing that I liked about your approach for, you know, organizing your balance sheet and organizing your financing sources was you would have people organized by interest rate and then the financial institution, and then you'd have all your private lenders organized. So it's really cool. You know what you've got financed at a certain rate, and then it was just really.
So it sounds like you're trying to talk about investor books, but I'm going to bet that Greg drove that and you never really did the day-to-day inside of QuickBooks, right?
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
I was
more the people person. I was tenants and contractors.
Okay. So then Greg would print, he would push a button and he'd print a little report and say, look at here, here's where we're at.
Exactly.
We're hurting here. That's fixing to get out of control here. We're going to tighten up on this or that. And you could also see your rehabs to the penny where you're at right now as they're happening.
Exactly.
Didn't know how to say it.
And that's just it. Like, you know, he and I had a really good partnership in terms of being able to complement each other. So that was a perfect example right there.
Yeah. So we're going to get him on here one day soon too.
Yeah.
So,
get him and Heather both on. They're quite a team too.
Yeah. I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but I think our success, mine and yours both, in this business is a lot about who you know as much as what you know.
I would agree with that. Absolutely. So
who have you met along the way that it's impacted you the most?
Well, I think I'm talking to one of them right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, I would say you. I would say, I mean, I haven't met Robert Kiyosaki, but his books definitely impacted me. Sean McCloskey, having a good mindset, that has really meant a lot. And the Life and Air courses that he was involved with and has really helped a lot. A lot of people at Wren, my local RIA, have really helped me a lot too. Greg and Jenny Pitts, they were my mentors that got me into that first deal. You know, they really taught me a lot.
Are they still active in Nashville?
They are active in Nashville. They self-manage their own properties and they have quite a few. So I don't know if they're taking students or anything, but anyway, they taught me a lot. Gosh, I'm trying to think who else. I've gotten a lot out of George Antone's materials, you know, Finance Academy. So, he taught me some stuff that when I went in and talked to my banker said, you know, in my 25 years of working at this bank, you're only the second person who showed me some of these metrics and ratios on a spreadsheet as a pro forma. So, you know, my financing is pretty well solid there, I think. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
While working your job as the massage guy and the caveman theater guy, remember those Capital One commercials? They say, what's in your wallet? The Viking guy. Well, that was John. He did those commercials. We had a blast with it. But how did you implement our system to get yourself out of the rat race?
Well, I think the biggest thing was managing rehab costs. And then, like you said, with the QuickBooks, you know, that was pretty powerful. I think improving deal flow and then getting rentals, you know, getting chunks of cash.
Let's hit the pause button on this thing. This knucklehead's a yapping. Let him go upstairs, hopefully. Okay. So yeah, I'm going to ask that question again and repeat it. They don't want the dog barking on that. So while working your job as a massage therapist and the Capital One, what's in your wallet, Viking guy, how'd you implement our system to get yourself out of the rat race?
I think the biggest thing was having a system to work my system. That was, and having that mindset of being organized and working more efficiently. That was really something. You told a story one time about spending an entire Saturday on the phone on this beautiful day and, you know, wanting to find a smarter, more intelligent way to work your business. I think finding ways to do that has probably been one of the biggest things, to go from, you know, trying to pour tons and tons of hours into the real estate business, into working more efficiently so you can go out and live. Aggregating cash flow in the form of rentals, that is, that's been the focus for the last 15 years. And then also managing your rehabs, but also when it comes time to making offers on houses. Yeah, I remember those little mini piss cards. Remember those?
Yeah. I still got them sitting right here.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I liked how succinct those were. You know, instead of having like 10 pages of checklists and everything to go through, you'd be like, hey, how's this look? Check, you know, needs work, good. You know, but being able to run through that in a house lets you work much more efficiently. So it's hard to identify one single huge thing in the systems. I think the one thing I could say is just being able to work more intelligently. And that gives you the ability to be more focused.
One thing that I've heard you reference several times, and you really didn't know what you were talking about because Greg did it, okay, yeah. is that investor book system that allowed you and Greg to keep your finger on the pulse of your business across the board on rehabs, on cash flow, profit and loss, your balance sheet, debt ratios, all kinds of things.
Yeah. And work orders too.
I forgot about that.
Our office manager, Pam, knew how to figure, Greg taught her how to implement the investor books so that whenever a work order came in, bam, 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 you know, she put it in and it was generated and we could follow up on it and everything.
Now, I know it's been a long time for you, but do you recall how much of your rent you guys actually received, or that's fuzzy or foggy?
Do you mean like a gross number, or do you mean like a percentage?
Well, like folks that implement the tenant tracking system within that investor books, they get 110%, or Greg Pruitt in Baltimore, 112% of the rent that's owed them.
Yeah.
And all of that is because of that system. And one of them that is real difficult for investors to do with rental properties to get tenants to pay for tenant caused repairs while they're living there.
Yeah.
I'm sure Greg taught your office staff how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. He could definitely tell you more about that. I want to say it was nearly 100%. I mean, we had some people who would balk at the whole idea of paying for something and they wound up not living with us too much longer. So,
you know, $6 light bulb. That's pretty
right.
cheap.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me see. I got a little notes here I've been taking here for you. So I've seen and heard, and you have too, where investors will take, and you mentioned this a minute ago, 1 or 2 hours to walk through a house, especially fixer uppers. And they got their legal pad and they've got a 3-ring binder of notes and all this other stuff. And you mentioned that mini pitch card. So how long does it take you to walk through a house and determine what you're going to do with it and come up with your offer?
I would say probably 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay. You're slow. Okay. Cliff said 5 to 6 minutes, and T.O., he said 5 to 6 minutes to walk through it and handicap the repairs. But he's so much now into creating. He hadn't gone to a bank to buy an investment property until after he attended his third boot camp. And he figured it out. You don't have to go to a bank to buy an investment property. So he spends about 30 minutes, he says, just thinking and brainstorming about different ways he can do creative financing before he makes his offer.
I mean, if you're talking about like, how, you know, looking at, you know, what it needs, that's probably about 15 minutes, but you know, it's probably depending on what the offer situation is, that might take another 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah. Tops, but you don't use legal pads, do you?
No.
3-ring binders,
a paper. That's about it.
You don't pull a wheelbarrow behind your car, do you?
No, I don't have a camera, you know, trying to videotape everything. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if it is a deal, guess what? When time you figure it out, it's a deal. It is gone.
Yes.
Somebody else done bought that puppy. Exactly. So I want to thank you for being on the 5-hour real estate week there, John. But tell us about your last 12 months and where you want to be or where you want to see yourself in 3 to 5 years.
Well, the last 12 months, I am grateful to say that I've only had one property resident not pay to the point where I'm having the property managers file an eviction. So I really am thankful for the quality of tenant that they got in there. And I believe that relationships with tenants are also very important, because the only thing more expensive than a vacant house is an occupied house where the tenant's not paying any money. So I've been grateful for that. And then the next 3 to 5 years, I would like, depending on, you know, what's in the future economically, I'd like to build back up to, you know, 40 or 50 properties. I'd sold a few down to pay off some debt and everything. Wouldn't mind building back up, you know, in the right way, in terms of having the right amount of cash flow and everything, and just kind of living the life that I've lived, but with maybe a comma and some extra zeros in it.
Comma and some extra zeros. I like that. And the other one is, don't forget about tax-free.
Yes.
Yeah, tax-free. So work, and I'm going to kick you on that one to keep you going there.
Okay.
So did you ever think in your wildest dreams as a kid growing up or whatever, that real estate would allow you to have the lifestyle that you used to dream about, but now you have it today, and getting up every day and doing what you want, pursuing your passions?
I had no idea about it. I didn't even know that real estate was an opportunity until I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, truly. So I've been grateful to have discovered the business and gotten into it. And what made me feel like I could get into it was, you know, I built scenery, so I knew my way around tools and lumber. And once I saw a fixer-up house, I was like, oh, well, shoot, I can do that. I mean, that's just the materials like what I built scenery with. So yeah, let's do this. And that made it feel like an approachable business for me.
Did you have a lot of money when you got started?
No, I didn't. I got a multiple once I sold that first house. So my net worth, you know, increased by like 3 times when I sold that first house.
When you sold the first house.
Yeah.
Well, do you recall about maybe how much money you might have had when you got started?
I think I had about $2,000 in the bank. And when I sold that property and made and paid back everyone that I, you know, begged, borrowed and stole from to, you know, finish that rehab that went over budget, I think when I got done, I had about 12 or 15,000 or something like
that.
Wow. So
that's huge.
That was huge for me at the time. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You know, I started out with less than $1,000 in the police officers credit union, and it just blew my mind. I mean, I still get goosebumps on the back of my neck and my head when I think about all the income that those rental properties and give to me because I own it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, wow. We used to watch that stuff on TV, Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous. That's the only ones I knew. We didn't have any in our neighborhood growing up. Yeah. So what's your pecking order in your family? You have how many brothers, sisters?
No brothers and sisters. My mom passed away in 2007. My dad and my stepmom are alive. They live over in Maui, Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Wow.
My dad's the only veterinarian on that side of the island. And, he's worked on Chris Christopherson's horses and Jim Neighbor's dogs. And he's known as, he's kind of like, you know, the uncle around town. Everyone kind of goes to him for advice and, you know, they're well respected in the community over there. So pretty cool.
Well, congratulations on that. Sorry about your mom. But that's going to happen to all of us one day.
Yeah.
And, so I want to thank you so much. And I've got a new slogan that, I want to get your opinion on, and I kind of like it. And I'm going to see if we can't get this trademarked or something, but remember, life does not have a rewind or a pause button. It's up to you to take action.
I think that's phenomenal. You're absolutely correct. No, there's nothing like carpe diem.
Yep. So nothing's going to fall in your lap, guys. So you've got to get out there and do it, but you can work smarter. You can be efficient. You can turn on systems that have a proven track record, and John's combined all of those things. So, I want to give you a big hand, congratulate you, and thank you for spending time with us on this podcast series. And I'm going to have you back on after you move up in your next level of adventure. Okay.
Okay. Sounds great. Yeah.
Thanks, John. Looking
forward to it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.